Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee into the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. They will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a story about a certain heathen king, Bogaris of Bulgaria, who liked terrifying pictures. He especially delighted in paintings which he knew would frighten his friends. Now one day there happened to come to his kingdom a missionary priest who was quite an artist. The king requested this priest to paint a picture that would frighten all of his friends. After some consideration, the priest decided to paint the Last Judgment. He pictured Christ seated in great power and majesty on a throne of clouds. Around him were armies of angels. To the right stood a multitude of men. Their faces were radiantly happy and shone with a great inner peace. To the left, however, was a crowd cringing and writhing in fear. Behind the throne, golden gates were flung open to an area shining with light. But in the foreground, there yawned a deep, wide pit. Tongues of fire curled forth from the pit, and hideous devils trying to escape the flames were seen. The king gazed in awe at the painting and declared he had never seen anything so impressive. But as he was a pagan, he didn't understand the meaning of the painting. The priest explained, "This scene, good king, is the Last Judgment. At the end of time, there will be a great trial of all men. Fire will destroy this earth. All the dead will rise from their graves to be judged." He then went on to explain his painting. "Your Majesty," he said, "that kingly person on the throne is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He will be the judge. Those beautiful beings around him are his angels. Those happy humans on the right are the just. They are happy because soon they will enter heaven through those golden gates. That cringing crowd on the left are the damned, those who died as enemies of the king. This horrible hole is the mouth of hell waiting to swallow the king's enemies. There the souls of the damned will suffer unutterable torments for all eternity." The priest then paused and said, "Every man must be in that picture, for every man must undergo that trial, the bad to be punished, the good to be rewarded." The king listened carefully to the priest's words. Long and thoughtfully he viewed the scene and pondering its meanings, and eventually he became a Catholic. He kept the sobering thought of the judgment ever before his mind, even when his eyes did not behold the painting. From then on, his life was so filled with a thought of the judgment that whenever important affairs of his kingdom were discussed in council, the king would first say, "Gentlemen, let us remember that what we are going to do will be scrutinized at that divine judgment." My dear faithful, in today's gospel, our Lord also paints a picture. It is a frightening picture describing what will take place at the end of the world. Our Lord tells us there will be much tribulation in those days. Our Lord tells us about false Christs who will present themselves and false prophets who will appear and show great signs and wonders in order to lead souls away from God. Thus our Lord warns us not to be deceived by the deceits of the devil. "But when the Son of God comes," he said, "he will be immediately known by all." Our Lord will appear coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. He will come at the end of the world to judge all men. Then our Lord explains that when these signs appear, you will know that the end of the world is also near. My dear faithful, Holy Mother Church has her children read this gospel for the last Sunday of Pentecost, which is also the last Sunday of the liturgical year. She does so with good reason. Why should we think about Christ's second coming? The church would have us think about the end of time and Christ's second coming so that we may be prepared to meet him as our judge. Although we do not know when the end of the world will come or whether we will even be alive at that time, practically speaking, the end of the world will come for each and every one of us when we die. And when we die, we must be prepared to take our place in that picture which the priest in the story painted for the heathen king. We must be prepared to meet our judge. And so the church wants us to think of the last judgment as this liturgical year comes to a close. She wants us to think about some inescapable facts. First, we should think about the fact that we will all die. We are creatures with an immortal soul, but because of the effects of original sin, each and every one of us must suffer death. Second, it is a fact that we will be judged at the time of death. God made us with a free will, but he wants us to use our will for good and to give him glory by following his commandments. But because we have a free will, we can choose to do good or evil. Therefore, God will judge us on whether we cooperated with his graces or not. The last fact is that there will be a final judgment at the end of the world. The last judgment will show forth the glory of God and of his divine Son. At this judgment, the acts of man will be made manifest to all. Everyone will clearly see why the just will be rewarded and why the enemies of the cross will be damned. Men on earth today refuse to recognize God's providence and Christ's love for us. But we know that everything that happens on earth is designed by God for our good. Sometimes when we are given a cross to carry, it may seem like an evil. But we must remember that it is God's way of drawing our souls closer to him. And so at the end of the world, all will be made to see that God tries those who love him. He sends them crosses that they may prove their love for him. Thus it often happens that the good suffer in this life, whereas the wicked prosper. But at the last judgment, God's justice and his mercy and goodness will be made known to all men. My dear faithful, where we spend eternity, whether we will have eternal happiness or everlasting misery, depends on our conduct here on earth. Our Blessed Mother said that more souls go to hell because of the sin of impurity than any other sin. Therefore, live a good Catholic life based on high moral standards. Avoid the occasions of sin, especially bad companions. In other words, walk away from those people who do not care if they injure our Lord. Pray for them that they may change their ways, but be careful of socializing with those who would influence you to sin. Avoid not only persons, but also places and things. For example, as you know, the internet can be a very helpful tool at home, in the office, as a student. But it can also be deadly, for the devil will try to invade your soul through such means. Today, the unsupervised use of the internet is one of the devil's best weapons for bringing souls to ruin. The world around us is rife with immorality. It is true we have to live in the world, but do not become imbued with it. We cannot rely on ourselves to avoid the influence of the world, for we are weak creatures with an inclination to evil. We must have divine assistance. Therefore, every morning when you wake up, ask our dear Lord and His Blessed Mother to watch over you throughout the day. And when temptation comes, and I can assure you temptations will come, think of the judgment. Think of your place in the judgment scene and have recourse to prayer. In time of temptation, turn to our Lord and our Lady and ask them to help you. Say the prayer to your guardian angel. Ask him to protect you when a temptation is strong. As I mentioned, on the day of final judgment, you will be in that scene portrayed by the priest for King Bogardus. You will be present at the last judgment. Your guardian angel will also be there. But remember, he is right there beside you now, urging you on in the battle against temptation and encouraging you to fight valiantly. And just as you would never do anything wrong in front of someone you respect, so you should never do anything in front of your guardian angel that would cause him to be ashamed. So, my dear faithful, live good Catholic lives with high moral standards. And then one day you will rejoice to see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.